Some women impersonate Sex and the City's Carrie Bradshaw with vast closets full of fantastic clothing. Even Sarah Jessica Parker pretends to be Carrie Bradshaw when she walks the red carpet. However, there is one woman in New York City who, if he knew her, would have been Darren Star's real muse. Let me introduce you to Susan S. Warner, the adorable petite blonde who at 59 lost her handsome, extraordinary husband to cancer 6 months after her wonderful 32-year-old son died by suicide. It's now 4 years later. After the most challenging days and nights, Susan decided to live her best life possible. And just like that, Susan was suddenly single. Carrie may have Susan beat on exposure, but Susan has Carrie beat on life's experiences. Listen in.
Susan, I'm curious. What corner did you turn after widowhood, or this could be for divorce also, that all of a sudden you decided to start dating?
What makes you finally decide to start dating? For me, it was a stroll with my daughter, and she told me that going on the apps is kind of like a job interview, and that it might be something that I should explore because that's what she found it to be like. And I'm like, this conversation is entirely meant for me. With that, we started talking about the apps. I knew nothing. And she explained them to me, and we went to lunch. And afterwards, I went home and went on the journey. And that was exploring the apps, trying to make a profile, kind of deciding how to navigate, and finally hitting the accept button. I needed a push, and it was definitely the push of my daughter. It's actually funny because I find that men that I've dated date far sooner in this process than women do. Either they've had extended illnesses with their wives or their divorce was longer, and they jump in much earlier, sometimes a few months after the separation, be it death or divorce. Women seem to hold out longer, and from what I've observed, traditionally yearish.
I'm curious, though. I think a lot about you. How did you feel when you first learned that you had to go online and you weren't going to start dating necessarily through introductions?
I'm an introduction girl, so that's a really good point from you, Lois. I wanted to be introduced. And I remember reading, and I believe it was Katie Couric who talked about dating, et cetera, as a full-time job. And that really offended me because I thought I have more to my life than devoting a full-time job of dating. And I did put it out there to a few people close to me that I was interested to maybe start dating. And if you knew anyone, then I might have put it out to maybe 5 or 8 people, and nobody came up with anybody. Everybody kind of had an excuse. Well, I don't think he's for you. I don't really know anyone. There's no one in my circle. There's no one in my realm. So looking at that and the fact that I am a can-do person, I like taking action. I'm a very actionable person. And I thought, well, where am I going to turn? The only thing that I can effectuate, that I can make action with, were the apps. So that was my place to go.
How did you decide which sites you were going to go on? And you know, made a profile. I don't even understand that world. How did you go about that?
That is a brave new world. My daughter Elizabeth helped me with that. She gave me a few names. And it's funny because now that several years have passed, there's several new sites that have come out that I think are probably far more interesting that I have not explored. But men that I've dated have shown them to me. So I've seen the female profiles. And I think if I were to do it again, I would be going into another arena. But I had some help from a 20-something who told me where to start. As far as putting a profile together, they do lead you step by step, and they ask you questions, and they give you spots for pictures. That was the hardest part for me. I'm not big on taking pictures, and I'm a little ill-confident that way. So I had a hard time finding pictures, but I did find a few that I liked, and I put them up, and I did deliberate over it. I have found out in the interim that most women have a exercise outfit on, and most people have a little bit more revealing outfit on. I did not have that. When I was talking to a friend the other day and told her that story, she said to me that her friend did a study and did one site without exercise clothing and one with, and she got many more hits and responses to the one that did have the exercise clothing on it.
To me, that sounds like total desperation. I can't even imagine, like, the state of your life where you have to be that, you know, showy and that desperate and that, you know, self-absorption that you would absolutely put yourself out there like that.
I don't think it's that. I think it's giving the audience what they want. As I said, I didn't do that. But I understand if this is what the audience is looking for and this is the norm, then you need to comply or you lose. So yes, you can stand on principle and say, I'm not going to do that. Or you can comply in something that you think is tasteful and well turned out and get the attention. You know, it's almost like this photographer I was working with told me that she tells women on the apps to wear a bright color. Always put on a pink top or a red dress. I never thought of that. It's all the psychological. So I suppose it translates into this as well. I don't think it's desperation. I think it's just complying to what's the norm. And we
However,
do that every day in everything we do.
However, a lot of women don't consider themselves a norm. So I'm interested, like, what their approach would be if it wasn't exercise. And who are the men that respond to the exercise clothes? And who are the men that respond to someone like you, what you were wearing, you know, something very sophisticated and thoughtful?
I think that humans are humans. And as we've discussed in a prior podcast, go back and listen. I hope my audience goes back and listens to one and two, that we're a visual society. Swipe left, swipe right. This isn't an interview. It's not speed dating. It's not video. It's not interactive. It is completely visual. So in that, men are men. You know, they want to see what the shape is on the woman that they're thinking about asking out. They want to see how fit she is, what she looks like. So it becomes the norm. I don't think women, as I said, look for men in exercise clothes. I don't think that they have
exactly.
You know, again, women are from Venus, men are from Mars. We're just different animals. So I don't think women are looking for tank tops and tight shorts on men in their profile. Yet, men are looking for exercise clothes or bathing suits or some sort of fitness expression to see what that woman looks like. Is that a statement on society? I suppose it is, but I think it's from time immemorial. That's the way it is, you know?
I would have to find a plus size dating app, because I would not, even if I was a size 2, that would offend me greatly. I led my life like that, but that's great. So now I'm curious, like, what was the big awakening when you did this? This must have been a marvelous situation for you.
As I said, I like being able to be actionable. So when you're alone and loneliness creeps in and there's a lot of self-doubt about, am I ever going to be with anyone? Am I ever going to meet anyone? It's very comforting when the ping goes off on the alert on your phone that someone hearted you, liked you, swiped you on one of these websites. So there's, and it's also a way to make it through evenings that are not stimulating. You have nothing to do and they're a little dark. So you chat with people, you answer back, you make small talk, and you then become in a circle of socializing. So there's something very comforting about people that want to meet you, and that you get a lot of positive reaffirmation if you get positive reaffirmation, if you get the heart, if you get the ping, if you get the chit-chat. So there's something very comforting about it, and there's something that breaks loneliness. And I think that's a really positive point to the apps.
I get what you're saying, because I feel the same thing on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram,
right.
Twitter.
Right.
I get that whole interaction. It's really great, and you can control it any way you want. But I'm curious, especially from your viewpoint, there had to be an awakening, like, oh, I get this. I understand the higher power of it. I understand where this is going. I mean, or, you know, something was so negative that you wanted to change the whole aspect of online dating. Was there anything like that?
I don't think I ever got it. I don't think I was ever a wonderful candidate for opening up a conversation. Hey, hi. I wasn't proficient at that. There's also men, because that's my frame of reference, that just like to talk. They like to text. They like to talk. They like to keep going in this conversation. And I kind of found it was going nowhere. And at some point got annoying. You know, they start telling you minutiae about their life. And a lot of it comes from people being lonely and finding a way to socialize. But I don't think I was ever wonderful at it. So did I ever get an awakening? No, I learned how to do it, and I learned how to do it pretty well. But I can't say that it was ever my favorite activity. I'm still a person that thinks that introduction or organic meeting, if that can ever happen, is the best way to do it.
I think that you pinpointed something that was very important that most people don't realize or they don't care about, but they should realize it, that a lot of people just like to be involved. They're really not there for the end results. So a lot of people like to just chit-chat and go on forever rather than present themselves and be on stage and then be evaluated. So it's I find it fascinating that you picked up on that right away, like, wait a minute, this is a conversation that's going to go on forever, and do I want to spend my life doing that? Am I correct about that?
You are correct, and at some point I found it boring. A man contacted me on a website from Maryland, and he just wanted to talk, and he wanted to tell me about his children, and he wanted to tell me about his day's activities and what he did, and I'm like, where's this going? You know, and sometimes when it was lonely and dark and it was someone to talk to and it was safe, yeah, I was in it. But for the most part, I was much more actionable. Talking, all of that, chit-chatting, having someone that's anonymous keep going at that rate was not for me. It was not for me. But there are a lot of people, that is very true, that make this a hobby. That was never my intent. But if it does cure that loneliness, much like social media, as you mentioned, which is very, very smart, Lois, much like Facebook, much like diving into Instagram for hours and hours, here at least you get to have human contact. And I think that that's probably a little better than not. But I think it needs to lead somewhere. And if you're finding when you're speaking to someone and texting and it's not leading anywhere, for me, it was an exit point. But for some people, it's a friendship.
Right.
And that works for them.
Yeah, and it becomes their social life. So,
yep.
Especially during the pandemic, so people get used to speaking to people through online devices, and that's good enough for them because maybe they don't want to present themselves in real life because then there's a whole other set of circumstances that they don't want to face. So, good for you to figure that out because, I mean, not that you didn't participate, but you knew, like, you know, where the objective was and, you know, who needed what. But the rest of the world really needs to look at that. What did you look for when you were online? I mean, you had this whole universe in front of you. What were your objectives?
Well, that's a revealing question, isn't it?
I suppose
you put in an age bracket. It's bracketed for you. You can expand that any way you want, younger or older. And the bigger it is, the more people come into your feed. So the broader every question is answered, the more people come into your feed. So that's an interesting point. I had an age bracket, but that's a whole nother question we get into about people not being truthful.
Right.
I had a geographic, which was the New York area. Certain professions interested me if they revealed those. In some interest, sometimes interest. You know, if someone was into country music and ballroom dancing, it probably wasn't going to strike me as someone I wanted to meet. You know, I'm not, those aren't my interests. If someone was into exercise and into movies and theater and maybe political discussions, things like that, that was someone that I was interested in. So you give a piece of your profile and you can be as specific as you want. I wasn't terribly specific, but a lot of men were. And from that, I garnered, is this someone that might interest me? And yes, there was the physical. I'm not lying. If they appealed to me, absolutely. Well, we should
get into
that
a little further down the line. But I was more, when I asked you that question, I was more interested in your fantasy. You had a wonderful marriage. Your mm-hmm. husband was, you know, a, you know, not even a 10 plus, 100 plus. yeah. He was every woman's dream. Everyone mm-hmm. should have been so lucky. And then you sit down in front of your computer or on your phone, and you must have had some sort of an imagination about, wouldn't it be great if I could meet who?
Mr. Big.
In what respect?
No, that's very funny. You know, I've often told you or written about the fact that I did not want to duplicate what I had. I knew that that was pretty much impossible. So I left myself really open for newness and different avenues and different personalities and different ideas. I felt very much that I needed to explore on this round, that looking for a clone to my husband was not going to happen. So I was very, very, and am very, very open in new ideas, new prospects. But aren't we all looking for Mr. Big in my demographic? You know, that man that is a little bit elusive, that is sexy, that is exciting. Mr. Big. You know, you said to me once, which I thought was really interesting, in all of my writing, when I write my Mr. Big chapter in my book that's forthcoming, that every man I dated will think he's Mr. Big. So I'm hoping that's true. Hoping that's true.
For their sake, I hope it's true too. But, you know, most men don't even understand the whole definition of
the
Mr.
nuance.
Big.
Yeah. The nuance
they don't,
to being
no,
Mr.
No.
Big.
And they don't even want to do it. But I mean, but that definitely is an objective. No question about it. So did you find Mr. Big?
Is that a fair question?
No, it's not a fair question.
That.
Yeah.
I can't answer that.
So when you start having a conversation with all these potential wonderful guys out there, what do you talk about? What's the conversation about?
Well, let's not limit this only to the apps. Let's talk about this in terms of people who are introducing you as well, which is the old blind date. So it's whether you're having that first conversation, usually it's over the phone with everybody. So you chit chat on the app, on a secure app. And then eventually I found usually it's the man that says, why don't we switch this to text? Can I have your phone number? So that's the first step. That's the, do I want to give him my phone number?
Wow. That's a whole new line that none of us ever heard. That's the line to say this is going someplace.
Exactly. So most people want to come off the app and you start texting each other. And that happens. And it happens for as long or as short as this relationship is growing. And then they move to let's FaceTime because they want to see you and you want to see them.
Right.
So that's another huge step. You know, you're not going to FaceTime when you just took off your makeup and, you know, you're wearing an old t-shirt walking around the house.
Right.
So you move to the FaceTime and you talk and you listen to each other and you start developing, you know, there's eye contact and you start developing a relationship. From there, it traditionally goes to a text that says, should we meet? Should we make a date? Should we get together? And then starts the dance. Where should we meet? What should we do? Where does he live? What's convenient? And that is all a bit of a seduction as well. You know, do you say, I want to meet for coffee in the middle of the afternoon? Or do you like this man? I want to meet for a drink. Or are either of you aggressive? Let's meet for dinner.
Right.
So you never know what's going to be. I had someone say to me on the first encounter, how adventuresome are you? Do you want to go to Brooklyn? I said, well, I'm, you know, geographically mobile. And he picked me up and we went and had ices in this incredible spot in Brooklyn and took a walk along the promenade. It was a lovely first date. Lovely. He was shocked that I said yes. And
you were shocked.
I'm like that though. I'm in it for the adventure. I mean, I knew, you know, this was an introduction, so I knew I was safe. You know, I knew where it was coming from. And it was really fun. We had a really fun first date that lasted hours and hours because we were in a car. We went for ISIS. We went and walked near the sugar factory, and it was a beautiful night. So that was an interesting way to do it, a little bit unconventional. Traditionally, it's a drink or coffee or dinner.
So do you still know Mr. ISIS now?
I do. Okay. We're friends.
And this question, I just broke out in a sweat after hearing the answer to that. The last two answers, my heart is racing already, and I'm married. Anyway,
I am one of those people that stays friendly with people that I date or have relationships with. As long as they don't end, you know, poorly, mm-hmm. I think that you usually develop a friendship as well as a relationship, and I value those friendships.
Are people honest?
I can only go on the man side, and there's a whole subset of men that are not. And traditionally, the really funny thing is, after you start the texting, traditionally I found in that subset that a man would say, "Well, you know, I said I was 62, but I'm really 69 because 62 puts me in another category, because women may stop the cutoff at 65."
Wow.
And that happened a lot. Or I'm not really 60, I'm really 70, but I'm really spry and really active and no one knows it. And everybody says I'm really young.
Oh boy.
Jokingly, we've discussed that people traditionally lie by a decade because it's easy to do the math by 10.
It's easy.
So if
that.
Someone says, yes. What year did you go to camp? You're not going to add 6, like you'll stumble over that. Or, you know, when did you graduate high school? You'll stumble on a 6 or an 8, but a 10, you just add 10. So
right.
Traditionally, there's a big 10 gap on that as well. Yes, there's a lot of mistruths. Now, I have been told by men I've dated that women also tell mistruths. And in fact, I've looked at women's profiles with someone, and we will sit there and say, yeah, she's 54, like not a shot. So we played that game, which probably isn't very nice. But yes, women and men do tell mistruths on age. They do.
That sounds like a whole
hairy
podcast.
Yeah, it's hairy though, because if you are, let's say you're 59 and you put your top at 65 and someone comes in at 64 and they're really 74, it's really not fair. It's really not fair. But fair doesn't really enter into this, does it?
Did you ever spot anyone that you know when you went online?
Yes.
Or anyone that was married?
I've never encountered married. I have not. And I don't think I ever dated anyone or started conversations with anyone that was married, but that might be my naivete. Certainly, I did see people I knew, and I couldn't have scrolled fast enough. You know, like I pushed it over. Like if I did it fast, they wouldn't see me. Yes, I did. And that was a little uncomfortable. I did.
Did that happen
often? But you can't avoid it.
Did it happen?
No, not too often. Not too often. But it did happen. And I was contacted by two people that I knew from my past life that I didn't answer.
Hmm.
You know, I had known them from raising my children when I was much younger. And I did not answer. It's a little uncomfortable. I know a lot of people look for their exes online. You know, they go on to see if their exes after they've broken up or are on there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the apps tell you things like last time visited site. So you can see if they visited site 4 months ago or hours ago. Yeah. So that's something that people are often interested in. And people stalk people I know.
Do the sites go fishing and say, this is where Susan... You know, this is the Susan's last book that she bought. This is Susan's last viewership
on
YouTube.
No, but interesting when you say, but interesting about fishing. One site I was on, I was getting the strangest demographic of foreign men, a lot of men who worked on ships. It was the oddest thing. So there's a lot of fake profiles and dangerously fake profiles. A lot of men from out of the country who are, I guess, looking for American women.
Right.
You have to be pretty savvy in weeding that out, because there's a whole lot of people who aren't real, who are fishing, as it's called. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous. You've seen that in, you know, Tinder swindler and things like that. Which I didn't think was very realistic. I did watch Tinder Swindler. I didn't think that was very realistic because in this country, no bank would let you take out 8 loans for a person, you know, and no bank would give you that money. Most of that was foreign. And I think there were a whole lot of red flags that people should have seen. But there are people that are trying to swindle women, and you need to be careful of that, right, even on a smaller level.
Well, in that movie, I think there was a, they asked you to suspend, you know, disbelief because they need to dramatize things to get you to understand it. However, you know, there's many elements to that, but there's no question about it. You just opened up a whole can of worms about the negative things that could happen to people to be online and what they should really be aware of. Because there could be, you know, there's no question about it. You go on Facebook, I could say something out loud like, I need to buy a red blouse. And then an hour later, I go on Facebook and I said it out loud. And then on Facebook, is there are like 7 red blouses for me to pick from. I know what's happening. What's happening. And I've led a life saying, I don't really have to worry about anything. I'm not doing anything underhanded. But then after a while, you're thinking, I just looked at, I had a project where I had to look on lap dances on YouTube. So if anybody searched me, there I am looking at 20 different lap dances.
Absolutely. I don't know how the algorithms work. I don't know how the algorithms work with the dating sites. So that may also be a part of it. I'm not quite sure of that. And I haven't been on in a while. So that could definitely be more sophisticated. We do know that there's a listening component to everything that we search, say, in Wi-Fi and the airwaves. No question about it.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. You need to meet people in public places. You need to go to restaurants where you might know, I've said this before, the bartender or the hostess. You need to be places where you're not really remote from your home so you can get there. You know, you don't want to be, you know, in the middle of the Lower East Side where you can't get an Uber these days. So you have to be savvy about what you do. No question about it.
I have to say from listening to you, and I've never been on a dating site, that I really feel like I've become an expert. So I definitely think we should do a part 2 to this because there's so many more questions that I have. But before we go, I definitely wanted to understand how many men did you want to meet when you first went on? Like, how did you figure out, I'm going to date 1 at a time, 10 at a time? I don't want anyone to have the upper hand.
Oh, no. I think you just go with your gut. If you continually stay on it, you can meet 6, 8, 10 men. I know men that have had Excel spreadsheets that they have gone on, and I know men that have dated 6 times a week, that they made this a job and job interviews, and they had to keep straight who's who, what's their name, where are they coming from. They, you know, their head was spinning, but you know, you can make this a full-time calendar job. So I don't think you set a limit. You keep going until you find what you're looking for. And even then, some people still continue and still hold on. I was with someone recently, and he received a text from a woman that he had contacted 10 months ago. And she said, you know, the timing wasn't right then, and I went out of town, and we were going to, you know, get together, but we didn't. What are you doing?
Exactly.
10 months later. And he said, you know, I'm in a relationship right now, but, you know, thanks so much. Hope everything's going well for you. And then there's this nice ever ends. Oh, I hope it works out for you. That's the nice thing everybody on this always says to each other, although I don't think they really think that. But that's how they, I hope this really works out for you.
Mm-hmm. Susan, you
so
have
I don't
opened
think you go
up,
in there with yeah, an idea.
Yeah. You have opened up a whole world, and we really have to make this, you know, I mean, it's very telltaling. It mirrors life and so many other things that happen to you in your journey of just living. I think that everyone deserves to hear more from you. So let's say goodbye here and then definitely come back. I have so many more questions for you, and I'm sure people are going to call in with questions too. And we need you to help us out. So
understand that app dating is how people meet. It's not a negative. And I hope I never paint that picture. There's a really positive point to meeting people on these apps, and it is the modern way to meet people. And lots of people meet each other, enter relationships, get married from the apps. So it's a very positive point in how to meet people in today's technology and exciting world.
Well, we can't wait for part two. Thank you so much. Thank you. And we'll chat very soon. Bye-bye.
Terrific. Bye-bye now.